How much?
Oh, let me give you. On that. Do I need this? Yeah. I just want to get down just a little bit closer to you. And thank you for coming and the preparation that you've made for the meeting. Is that David's pants with the beard? And all those that you've invited, and I'm sure set aside a lot of them. Oh, much better. Thank you. It'll do you more good than will anybody getting out and inviting the people, as many of you have done, and I personally thank you for doing that. But it will, whether they come or not, it will do you a lot of good. And has done that, I'm sure, with strengthening. And your neighbors, some of them will come. Sometimes. You don't give up on it. Keep working at it. I want to talk with you about Jesus and 1 John, which is a little different from the rest of the lesson. Most of the others will deal right with the life of Jesus himself, but this one I want to try to get a few things together. One of the things that I hope that the lesson might do is to show us that we can't just talk about Jesus and not keep his commandments. But that's real basic in 1 John. Also, that one of the major things in 1 John, just the very nature of its construction, is that he starts out and shows us some of the things that we have in Christ. Then he broadens that, and he says, this also you have in Christ. Then the spiral gets bigger, and he says, this is also in Christ. Then finally, it just encompasses all good things, even as Paul would say in the book of Ephesians, that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Only John does that in a different way. He'd rather than just say this 1, 2, 3, 4, that he'll say this is so, and then this is so, and you see how that comprehends that. And then the next point comprehends all of that, and it just grows and gets bigger and bigger, and then you see what you have in Christ. And that's sort of that thing. And it's a beautiful lesson. I wasn't expecting to find anything like that in 1 John. Probably an old man as he writes this book, and you know, he's had so much difficulty, probably had to leave Jerusalem around 66 A.D. with the persecution along with the other apostles. At the beginning of the war there, and there, as it began to things get underway for the rebellion against the Romans, and he, having to flee, would find some difficulties here, there, and everywhere, even could see, if not already, see that he's going to be the only one left. And you could just see that the man would be discouraged by then. But I see nothing of that in the book. Nothing. I see nothing of that when I read the book of Philippians about Paul when he's in prison. And this may be some of the last words he's going to write are to Timothy. And he writes to Timothy, he says, stir up the gift that's within you. The end of it. Friend Timothy, rather, perhaps, than Philippians. And I see nothing of I smell nothing of the dungeon in either case. I smell no fires of the stake in anyone's clothing. I see one who is young in spirit. In fact, life is more a part of him than it ever has been as he gets closer to him who is life itself. And so he begins his book. And I'd like to just point out one or two of those things as we go along for our lesson. So if we can gain that, then perhaps as we talk about the life of Christ in particular, some of the things that happened to Jesus, and who he is, and as he reveals himself to us, then we'll be able to better comprehend that and make it a part of ourselves when we understand that I'm going to have to keep the commandments of God for him to be mine. And I don't want you to go away not understanding that. I would have done you a great disservice just to let you fall in love with the Lord and not point out how it is that you appropriate all these blessings to yourself that he has for you and gladly has given for you. And we'll talk about that perhaps tomorrow evening. I believe that's Sermon on the Mount tomorrow night. We'll talk about that. And the lessons kind of get better in a lot of ways as it go along. At least I think so. So, 1 John, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, that which we have seen with our eyes, that which we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life, and the life was manifest, and we have seen and bear witness and declare unto you the life, the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest to us. I wouldn't have started that like that. That which. You're talking about someone. And he says, that which. He uses a neuter. You know, I would have used a pronoun that would have told me something more of Jesus. And yet, in the incomprehensible ways of inspiration, he's told me beyond all comprehension of man. He has just removed the lid and has let me see not only the person of Jesus, but all that he is. The Word has become flesh. He who from the beginning, he who is God, he who made everything. He said, I saw, I was on the front seat of his life. I was the closest one with him, with my brother James and Peter. We looked closely at this one, and this one was life. This one was God. This one was he who was always. We think of something, you know, 100 or 2 years old here has been an antique. I don't know just where you start that. In the older countries, you know, you'd have to go back of several 100 years, and you go to Iraq and you find things thousands of years and you have an antique. And here is one who always was and yet is alive. His life is God, the maker of all things. Now, of course, now that's everywhere. And so he is saying, not only is this Jesus the person, but this is comprehends all that he ever was and all that he is now and can ever be. God manifest in the flesh. Where would you go for that? Revelation? Let's try it. You remember here in chapter 5, when in chapter 4 you recognize that John is taken to heaven and he sees the door open in heaven, and there he sees the revelation of the Father as he sits upon the throne, and there's the lightning flashing and the thunders and the living creatures round about and all the power that is there, and the living creatures as they give honor unto the Father. And then in chapter 5, you see the Lamb introduced. And the Lamb, the Lion of Judah, is the Lamb. And then I hear the song, and then as he sees in verse 6, I saw in the midst of the throne of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, a Lamb standing as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came, and he taketh this book that he has had, that's held in the right hand of him that sits upon the throne. And when he had taken the book by his death, and when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. That which was from the beginning, John is saying. The writer here, the same one, he is saying, this is that which, the Lamb, who has been slain. When he has taken it, we find here that the four living creatures and the 24 elders fall down before the Lamb, having each one a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sing a new song, saying, worthy art thou to take the book and to open the seals off, for thou wast slain, did purchase unto God with thy blood. Men of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and they descend to be under our God, a kingdom and priests, and they reign upon the earth. That which was from the beginning, John said, I saw. And I saw, and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a great voice, worthy is the Lamb that had been slain to receive the power, and the riches, and the wisdom, and the might, and the honor, and the glory, and the blessing, and every created thing which was in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and on the sea, and all things that are in them, heard I saying, unto him that sitteth on the throne, and unto the Lamb, be the blessing and the honor and the glory and the dominion forever and ever. This is that which was from the beginning, that we saw with our own eyes, handled with our very own hands. It's the emphasis that one who was reading the original language would get. My own hands handled this one. Not just this one person, but all that he is. All that he was. All that he can mean to everybody. That which from the beginning. Who would have thought of doing that? But God in his infinite wisdom. And beyond certainly all comprehension of mind. In the 12th chapter is the division somewhat in the book of Revelation begins here, and we see Jesus coming upon the scene, evidently. The child is born. And Satan is there to take the child. And in verse 10, when with the ability of this one to come and redeem man. I notice here the great dragon, verse 9, was cast down. The serpent is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole earth, world, was cast down to earth, and the angels were cast down with him. And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, Now, is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuses them before our God day and night, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they love not their life even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, woe unto the earth and the sea, for because the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, not knowing and knowing that he hath but a short time. Now has come the salvation, the power, the kingdom of our God, the authority of his Christ. Now, all of that which I saw with my very own eyes. The water splashed in my face. When the wind raged on the Sea of Galilee, and it woke the Master up, and he did not have to even shout into the wind, but said, because the indication in the original language is that even as he spoke it, the wind ceased. The waves were quiet. And you couldn't even be able to be heard perhaps from one end of that small boat to the other. And when Jesus, instead of having to shout, "Peace be still," he said, "Peace." He could have said, simply, "Peace," and all of them heard. Peace, because the wind was no more. John said, "Wipe the water off my face," as it were, and the storm was gone. I saw that with my eyes, John said. Let me tell you, John said, that one was life. I help unwrap that man who'd been dead for so long. I don't know that he really did. He could have. His clothes smelled of death and rottenness. And the man in it was alive. When he called, "Lazarus, come forth," loose him, let him go. These hands unwrapped him, or something like that. Who would have taken up the basket full left over when the thousands were fed but John and some of the others? And John is saying, isn't he saying just exactly that in 1 John? "And that which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, that which we have seen with our very own eyes, that which we beheld and our very own hands handled, concerning the word of life, these hands handle. God we handle. God we heard." We were going into a little city, and here comes out a procession with a young man on a litter, a bier, going to the graveyard. And mother behind was crying. And I was the first one, the closest one right there. And Jesus touched the bier turned to the mother and said, quit crying. Turned to the lad and said, get up. And that boy got up. I saw that. I heard the words. I scrutinized with my own eyes. A boy going to be put in the ground. Or in a cave. A tomb. I'm telling you what I saw and what I heard. He's saying so that you may have fellowship with us. Have our fellowship. And that's what it's about. So that we can share with God the things that He has for His children. That's what He's saying. And this is no dream. This is no delusion. This is something that if anybody could ever know, we knew. And we know, and I stand upon that at the end of my life, with nothing to gain, I am saying, we saw and handled and scrutinized with our very own eyes, our very own hands. We heard with our ears. And declare unto you the life, the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we all unto you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. Here was He who made it all. You know, religion is not something God invented for us. Religion is God's statement to us of His unalterable nature. And that carries with it some responsibilities that I am to act like I was a child of His. And He gets to that, which is the other major part of the lesson. And so as He reveals this one to us, we are to be like Him. And that's what it's about. And so as He says, that your fellowship may be with the Father. That isn't what He said. I didn't read it that way, at least the first time. He says, we saw, we heard, we scrutinized very carefully, we handled this life, eternal life that was manifest to us. We declare this unto you, that your fellowship may be with us. Not with God. Now, He'll say that. I'm not suggesting that's not what He's going to say. But He didn't say that first. And that's why it seems to me that it is best that we kind of get this in our system before we get on with some of the other things. Because He is saying there's no way you can get to the Father and have fellowship with the Father except by the apostles, the witnesses' word. That's the only way you're going to get. And if you don't have fellowship with us and our teaching and the things that we present, if you don't understand and believe in the message that we have about Jesus, you can have no fellowship with the Father. This is the only way. Paul would say that as he writes to the Romans and say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for there you find the power of God to salvation. In nothing else. You can't clap your hand on your chest and say, you know, I just feel I've got it right there, and not have the message of the apostle. I won't do it. It just seems to me that's the way they ought to be because that's what mamas always believe. I won't get it done. It'll have to be. Your fellowship is with the apostles in order to be with Christ and with the Father. And why else say that? That your fellowship also may also have fellowship with us, yea. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. So you're going to have the same fellowship that we have. We were the eyewitnesses of these things. But you're going to have the same fellowship through the message that we present to you. But it'll have to be our message. We're the ones, and if you don't believe what we're saying to you, you're not going to have it. Let me suggest to you that the very nature of the gospel, of the message, is exclusive, and in that area is where we catch so much flack with the denomination. And yet therein is we find our strength.
If there's anything right, it's what John saw and writes. What Peter saw and what Peter wrote. What Matthew saw and what Matthew wrote. And when we say these are the eyewitnesses and these are the ones who saw, these are the ones who heard, this is what they said, and there's nothing as good as that, I have no apology to make for that. And that those who follow that are the children of God, and that's where I have my fellowship. And I limit it only to them. Because I believe they are the ones who have fellowship with God. But it's a kind of a negative thing. I'd rather not keep it that way. I'd rather not even state it if it's necessary, but John will state it. Man, he just states it. He just says if it's any way else, you're a liar. He goes on, he says, more than that, you make God a liar. No more than that, you can't see, and more than that, you're blind. Why, you can't see. And finally, he'll say, some of them are even the Antichrist and gone. So he's just as tough as he can be about it from a negative standpoint. And this is the great epistle of love, and yet there's so much negative in it. And yet, I don't want to put it on that basis, he is showing me how to have fellowship with God through his message. Because he said, my message is the truth. I know wherein I speak. I've seen. Cosmonauts went up and said, we didn't see God. Of course they didn't see God. They don't have anything to report. Nobody else. Who else has something to report? Anyone have anything to report about God? I just wouldn't ask that question just anywhere. There's a few holiest meetings I wouldn't ask that question. I don't believe. But, really, who's got something to report? Oh, someone can be deluded about it. But who has really seen and handled and heard? John. That's why when we study in the book of John, we're in good hands. John knows whereof he speaks. The evidence, he has the facts. And he presents them to us. No one else. No dreams, no fantasies, no delusions. Just the facts. And God did come. He who made everything. And he came because he loved us. And that we might have fellowship with him and with the Father through the message of these witnesses. And that's the story. And these things we write that our joy may be made full. Your version might read your joy. But that we might be joyous. This is our job. What a job we've got to tell people about life. Now that's what you've been doing, even inviting people to come to hear the story of Jesus. And that's not so bad. That's a pretty good job. And an enjoyable one, isn't it? To tell somebody about life. And this is the message which we have heard from him and announced unto you. Here's the message for you, that God is light. Oh, I'm glad it's that way. Here is light. Think about our God being a God of darkness. God of ugliness. But God is light. And we announce it to you, and in him there is no darkness. He is the source of light. He is not only the source of light, he's in the light. And those who follow him, he suggests, are in the light. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So we don't want to separate them, and that's one of the major things we wanted to present even this evening. And we lie, do not the truth, do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And that's my obligation. I say, have fellowship with him? Yeah, I can look at his practice. Yeah, I can have fellowship with him. His practice conforms to that of the witnesses. Well, he may not really believe that in his heart. God doesn't ask me to look into his heart. God will take care of the heart part. All I can do is just see the practice. The practice is according to that which the apostles announced. Fine. Fellow says, I believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God. I don't know if it does or not. I heard the right confession. That's the fellow I fellowship. Here's a fellow who practices, who's walking in the light as far as I can see. Say, well, this fellow's just not, he's not sincere about it. I can't tell that. Not yet. He goes on, talks some about that. He's going to say that finally it'll be made manifest that the fellow will not continue that he walked that way. The fellow will do differently if he's not that kind. If we say that, and then he says, now here we are in light. So here we're having fellowship with God. Here's one who knows. Man, that's a pretty good circle to draw. Then he draws a circle and he says, now this that we're talking about is light. That which is light. And he says, there's no darkness. Here's God, and there's no darkness, and you can have fellowship with Him who is light. And as you walk in the light, as you do His will, then we're going to find ourselves having fellowship with God and fellowship with one another. Because there He walks in the light. I'm in the light. We're both here in the same area, so we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of His Son cleanseth us, a continual action. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth's not in us. There'd be a lot of other things in you. It won't be that you're just empty. You'd be deluded. Have a lot of error within you. But you won't have the truth. I mean, you deceive yourself if you say you have no sin. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and that may well be a part of the walking in the light, isn't it? That's the way you continually are cleansed. If we say that we have not sinned, we're not deceiving ourselves and are a liar now, but He says we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. That He's a brutal God. I've never sinned. I don't need such a sacrifice. Why did He ever send His Son? He's saying you're just in terrible shape. You're making God a liar. Well, you know, you confess a sin and you're going to go ahead and yeah, fellow's not going to be perfect. And one fellow look at that thing, he said, well, it's a hopeless thing. I'm not going to be perfect, so I just give it up. So other fellow sees the other side of that and he said, well, all you have to do is confess the sin. Just go out and confess. I'll just sin more and all I have to do is confess it and everything will be all right. So he gets some people on both sides of that. But then in chapter 2, which is really shouldn't be a chapter, I guess, normally. My little children, these things write unto you that you may not sin. I'm not writing to make it easier or for you to give up. I'm writing so you won't. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He's the propitiation for our sin. I wish I had an angel who would give himself to me. Do you have an angel? Do you figure an angel might be worth as much as you are? On the plane coming up here, or I guess right before, while we're waiting to board the plane, these two women were talking, and evidently talking rather loudly. So I couldn't even read. They were kind of disturbing and kind of thing. So, and evidently had something to drink. I don't know. And they were talking about insurance. And she said something like, says, my insurance agent said, if you were to become an angel, and she went on, your children would get so much money. You know, if you were to become an angel. I don't know about that. I don't know. But a real angel. Could you have an angel die for you? Do you think that would settle the debt? Just look through heaven and find the finest looking angel and say, I'll take this one. And let me talk to this. You talk with him, he said, you know, I like it here. I like my position. And I know that you're bound to die and gone forever. And I'm sorry about it, but I just... Do you see how wonderful it is here? I'm just not in a position to go now. Boss. I said, who's your boss? He said, well, find that. You go find that. Fella. Say, you know, he won't go. How would you go? Will you send somebody out? He said, you know, I don't believe I can get off this week. And, you know, you find his boss, and you just finally can't get an angel to go. But an angel would do. But it's not an angel. The one who's king of it all. One who is God. one for whom everything was made, said, I go, and happily came and died in my place.
That's the message we announce unto you, that Jesus came and died. His blood is shed,
and you are forgiven as you walk in the light. Isn't that a beautiful message for him to present to us? Ah, the blood of you, someone worth more than all our lives and the lives of all the world. In fact, he goes on, does he not, to say that he is the perpetuation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Why, he's able to cleanse the whole world. And so I would be included in that.
And hereby we know that we know him. Oh, I wanted to know that. How can you know?
You ever have a denomination knock on your door and say, do you know Jesus? Do you know the Lord? Well, I hope I do. Are you going to heaven? Do you know?
And he says, and hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments.
I'm glad it's like that. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him.
But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily hath the love of God been perfected, the commandments along with the love of God. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. And so I see here something about the commandments of God and the keeping of his word and the love of God.
And that thing gets connected as it goes further.
In the next paragraph,
time sure got by me. We're not going to get through this book. let me see what we do with this.
Well, in the next paragraph, he's going to talk about loving the bread. And that the love of God is here. And he says, now here's the love of God, that you love your brother. And then he's going to tell me in the last part of chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, he's going to tell me that the love of God and the keeping of the commandments and the loving of the brethren are all the same, all go together in verse 2, hereby we know that we love the children of God when we love God and do his commandments, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So he finally gets it all together, and so here's the box, and it's called the love of God. I open it as the keeping the commandments. And I open that, and the box is loving the brethren. And I open that, and it is keeping his word. And I find out I'm into the same box all the way through.
And so that, he's not going to let me separate all that. And in fact, he's not going to let me separate any. But let me suggest to you that when you get through with that, we don't want to misunderstand that, because that Christianity is not just keeping a set of rules. God doesn't need just some rules obeyed. Now, that book has to go. There's no way that book can stand. I turn that book loose. If there's some laws that God's made, that book's got to fall. It has to fall. He could have made me the same way. But I would have had to obey just the rules just like that. I'm the only creature that can spit in the face of God and say, no, I will not. I don't know anything about angels. They might be able to do that. But if there's any creature that I know, I'm the only one that can say, no, sir, I will not. So he could have made me otherwise if he wanted just some more rules obeyed. But what God wants is a sort of people, the kind of people who would obey. You see that? And, you know, we get to heaven, and I don't know if there's any act of courage to be, you know, if one of the things were to be courageous and fight the good battle. And I don't know if there's any battle to be fought in heaven. I wonder what good that'll do a fellow in heaven. But the kind of person that fighting the good fight and to be courageous for right here makes me now is the only kind of fellow that's going to be in heaven. See that?
that the commands of God, the things that He has, are the things that are best for me, the things that make me what I ought to be and change my state even as I began, and then I'm on the way.
There's so many things I wanted to talk to you about. I maybe can incorporate a few of them as we go along. Let me just pick out one or two things and say a word about them. Verse 20, the anointing from the Holy One of chapter 2. He says, and you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. And you read this paragraph here, and you know, and you know, and you know, and I write that you know, and you do know, and the knowing of all those things. And he finally just says, you know all things. And I've always wanted to be in that position, and finally I see I know all things. And I illustrate that this way, that I do know everything. I know the schedule of every flight of every plane that leaves the Atlanta airport. Did you know I knew that? And of every train, passenger or freight that runs on any railroad in all the world. That's knowing a lot, eh? He said, I know all things. I take that for what it means. I know you know all things. Well, you know I don't know that. But I know what I need to know about that. I know the day is coming when that plane will not run, and that plane will not fly, and that train will not run. That's what I need to know about that. I need to know not to put my confidence in that bank, because it's not solid. The world, he says, love not the world even before he gets there. Neither the things of the world, so I'll not put my fund, I'll not put my life in the bank that's going broke. I'll put it with Christ, where there is life, where there is light. One more verse. Notice chapter 3, verse 1. I wish I knew how to read that passage. And it slips up on you a little bit. He said all of this, and here you can tell the tree. And then the righteousness is yours. That not everybody's going to know you, but he said, behold! And I wish we could all just kind of, you know, we had a responsive sort of thing, and we were all trained to just say, behold! Look at this! I want to show you something, John said. There's something you need to see now. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God, should be called the children of God, and such we are. Well, the Father treats His children better than I treat mine. He has called me His child and has invited me to call Him Father. And I will. I will. Look at the love that God has for us, that we would be called the children of God. And that's exactly, he says, who you are. Because of He who is presented in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and in the book of Romans, and in the book of Colossians, and the book of Ephesians, this is the one that we'll be talking about. Would you call Him Father? Through the blood that was shed to make you a child, that you reach in the death of Christ when you do believe and partake of Him in that way, confess gladly, having repented of your wrongs, be buried with Him into that death, let His death become yours that you might have life. The very life that John said, I saw in my hand, this hand, he said, my very own hand, handle. I'm telling you the truth, he said. I know where I'm. Doesn't sound like a madman, does he? Sounds like he knows what he's saying. Where would you find literature like this, that we're to love one another like this, that we're to care for each other, that we keep the commands of God, that we can have the confidence to have life, not to put your confidence in anything or anyone else. And if you haven't obeyed him, put your confidence in your life and your love right there. While together we stand, while we stand.